Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How hard is it to be a vegan in Texas? Granted, the state will probably always be better known for its barbecue than its broccoli, but stores and restaurants have begun to cater to the tastes of those who avoid animal products for the sake of health, animal welfare, religion, or the environment. My guests today insist vegetarian and vegan dishes can be just as satisfying as anything made with meat or dairy items, and they've organized the annual Texas Veggie Fair to prove it. James Scott is founder and producer of the fair, which happens this Sunday, October 19th at Reverson Park in Dallas. Stephanie Casey is its producer and creative director. Welcome, both of you, to Think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what gave you the idea for the Texas Veggie Fair, and what sort of experience is it meant to be for people who go?
I'll let Jamie take that since he founded it.
Right. Well, essentially, I guess it's been 4 years ago now. I really was somewhat of a new vegan. I had been vegan for about 2 years, and it was in August, I think, of that year, and I was just thinking, I really want to have a corny dog. And I hadn't had a corny dog in years. Mm-hmm. And I thought probably there are other people that would have that same opinion. You know, I had essentially found more and more vegans, vegetarian people in the Metroplex over the years, and so thought that I would put something together just to, you know, have a place that someone could go and get any kinds of food that they wanted to, the types of foods that you might not typically get at a festival or fair.
And he had already started Dallas Vegan at this point. So
right,
he already had sort of mobilized other people.
Right. So so basically I put together a small little festival in a warehouse near Fair Park that just – I invited three or four food vendors to come and decided that it – would be a good opportunity to bring in some other entertainment just to make it a little bit more of a festival. So we had some bands and we had some organizations there to help educate people, just to give them more information about why someone might want to choose to go vegetarian or vegan or just adopt a more plant-based lifestyle. So really just that was the initial reason for it, and it's grown from there.
So for the happy and dedicated carnivores out there, what's the difference between the terms vegetarian and vegan?
Vegetarians still eat some animal products, just not the ones that kill the animals directly. So they'll eat eggs and cheese, that kind of thing. And then vegans are no animal products whatsoever.
No, and typically no leather, nothing that would
right.
result in the death of an animal.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's a couple of ways to go if you're vegetarian or vegan. You can look for the best possible substitutes for things that taste like meat, or you can kind of explore other ways of eating. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you all have kind of experimented with both, and if there's a trend right now in the way people are eating.
I'd say it's natural progression for a lot of people that when they do decide to give up meat, to try to use some of the meat analogs or the faux meats that
meat analogs. Goodness.
That's
delicious.
That's a term.
Like bacon and things like
right,
that.
Right, right. Uh-huh. Because it's
familiar.
It's familiar. It's what they've grown to. So people, you're used to eating a hamburger, so you would substitute a veggie burger for that. Mm-hmm. Or you might have a hot dog. You might have a veggie dog instead.
So you want to replicate the experience of what you've eaten your whole life. Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's products that are, say, faux beef crumbles, that you can essentially take those and interchange those with the same recipe that you would use real beef. And oftentimes, you really can't tell the difference. So a lot of people, I think, when they make that transition, they go towards those the fake meat, so to speak. But then at the same time, I think you grow to appreciate and find out all the other whole foods and whole vegetables that are available that you may not have never known
I sort
about.
Of did the reverse. I was a vegetarian from the time I was about 15 to 22, and then just slowly went back into fish and fowl and then meat. And recently, getting involved with this and coming to Dallas, I lived on the West Coast for about 10 years, and it was sort of a food culture shock coming to Texas.
Yeah.
And there just weren't, you know, I lived in Portland and in LA, and there's free range and vegetables everywhere all the time and just local foods. And there wasn't a lot of that here. So I started investigating food in general and went more and more plant-based as I learned. I started watching documentaries and learning more about food production again and, you know, re-educating myself like I did when I was a teenager, which initially made me stop eating meat. And now I eat about 90% plant-based. So I eat eggs from local farmers that I've actually been to the farm, that kind of stuff. But I eat almost all plant-based. And it started with just eating the real plants as they are. And this year I've really gotten more into the meat substitutes. And the technology of them is advancing a lot. There are companies that are realizing there's a market for this and it's sort of the future of food to sustain feeding the millions of people. Because, you know, when you take plants and feed them to animals and they eat a lot, you use a ton of water. It's something, what do we say, conservative estimates, 4,000 gallons of water to make a pound of beef or something. Mm-hmm. So thinking big, Bill Gates funds one of these companies and they have a great substitute chicken and they're working on eggs now. But once you start getting into that, my first concern was what's in this stuff. And that's what a lot of people say. I don't know what's in that fake meat where I just know what's in chicken.
It does seem heavily processed in many cases.
It does. It's getting a lot better. But then when you think about all that processing that went to your animal, they were fed GMO soy and corn. They were fed antibiotics and hormones and various other things and treated certain ways and under stress. And their bodies produce chemicals from that. Then they were processed. You know, factory farm beef is going to be rinsed with ammonia before it's at McDonald's in a burger. So you're eating all of that in your factory farm animal product. So is the, you know, fake meat actually worse? Probably not.
So there are people who, for whom veganism or vegetarianism seems really foreign, right? And they assume that vegans and vegetarians kind of subsist on bean sprouts and air. Mm-hmm. But there are like really, one of the things that you're trying to show is that there are really delicious foods, that it's not necessarily about this sort of ascetic lifestyle.
Sure. Yeah. And that's probably something that, you know, going vegan and seeing that. The restaurants such as Spiral Diner, they started in Fort Worth and there's one in Dallas, and you can go there and essentially get all the same types of diner type food and really decadent and rich food that you may have had before. You know, they have pancakes and cakes and
club sandwiches and chili dogs.
Right. So it's right. So I think the common notion is that you are eating just lettuce and nothing much else than that. But really, there's a lot of things available. And really, for me, when I first started, you know, going vegetarian and vegan, I guess branched out into other international cuisines that I had never even thought about, going to an Indian restaurant or Thai
Ethiopian.
Restaurant or Ethiopian. Mm-hmm. And really, I think I started to eat more foods, more different foods than I did before.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess there are plenty of cultures where either people don't eat meat at all or it's something that is kind of a rare delicacy. Mm-hmm. And so those lend themselves to plenty of menu items.
Even in our history in America, it's in every meal now. But our grandparents and, you know, they didn't have these giant steaks and chickens every night. It might have been on Sundays or at holidays, and otherwise it would have been a small portion of what was on the plate. It wasn't all meat and dairy, and we've gotten to that point. It's clearly making people sick. It's clearly making people obese on an extreme scale. So something's got to give, you know?
So are people surprised who, you know, carnivores who are sort of dragged along to the Texas Veggie Fair with a friend, are they surprised that they like the food?
Sometimes, yeah.
I think so. I think that's a lot of the comments that we get.
We get great feedback about that. And some people will say, I came 3 years ago and it started my journey to becoming a vegan. Or, you know, a vendor will say, we were surprised that a lot of people that weren't already vegan or vegetarian came up and asked us a lot of questions and we ran out of recipe cards. That sort of feedback comes back to us every year.
Mm-hmm. So many times these days there are couples where one person is a vegetarian or vegan and one person is an omnivore. There are families where mom and dad eat meat or don't eat meat and the kids are vice versa. What do you suggest to people who sort of need to coexist in the same kitchen?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that it would – because obviously the person who eats meat can eat all the vegetable products and plant-based products, no problem, but it doesn't go vice versa. So, I mean – that would probably – have you ever lived with anyone or dated anyone that was
is a deal breaker for you now?
Not really, but yeah. I mean, I think that's the key, is that, you know, a lot of people that aren't vegan, they might look at a vegan menu or they might go to a vegan restaurant and think, well, I'm not vegan, so why should I go there?
There's nothing for them to eat there, although everything there is for them.
Right, and I think a lot of people shut down and think, well, I'm not vegan, so I shouldn't eat that or I can't eat that. But I think once people are receptive and just open their minds a little bit and see that this is the same food that you probably ate before, it's just maybe made a little bit differently, you know, I think it does open up, you know, that – It makes people more willing to to eat that, and I think, you know, the people that aren't vegan or vegetarian can, you know, coexist a little bit easier.
And it's not like you're breaking code if you eat meat all the time and then you have tofu and you're Thai food one day. You know, it's not like you're on the other
you're
side then. There's no going back.
By the meat eaters.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are there things that aren't – like the substitutes just don't work? Like I've tried vegan cheese and – I don't know. It just doesn't really do much for me.
It's, you know, it's definitely, I mean,
I'm in the same boat.
There's definitely
except
advances. I mean, it 20 years ago, there probably, if there even was a vegan cheese, I'm sure it tasted horrible. And even 10 years ago, but really over the years, it's consistently gotten better and better. And, you know, so I think for someone that might have tried a vegan cheese or some kind of vegan product, say 5 years ago, and said, this is disgusting, I'm not going to do it, I'll never try it again, I would suggest trying it again, because I think things have changed
and
the technology has changed.
I don't know if you want to drop the brand name, but the one that you had that was mail order at your house was amazing. And
right.
My step brother-in-law, last night we were eating, and he's a meat eater, but dairy makes him ill, almost dairy. So I was telling him about this cheese that at your house, and he said, send me the link right away, because he can't really eat cheese. And so to be able – it's not just people doing it by choice. There's also a lot of people that dairy or –
lactose intolerant
kinds of,
people. Yeah.
So – and there's – we have two Capital City Bakery and what's the one up north? Reverie. They do – they'll do birthday cakes for kids who have dietary issues, and they post these great photos, and it'll say, you know, this is the first time my five-year-old has had his own birthday cake until we found this bakery, because he couldn't eat a lot of the things that were in the cake, whether it's gluten or dairy or whatever. So it's not just even choosing because you are taking a stance against something.
What do you do about eggs in, say, baked goods that kind of have a chemical property in addition to, you know, in some products they're just there to add flavor?
Well, there are actually a lot of – that's another thing that they've made a lot of progress on as far as substitutes for – you know, an egg can possibly do a lot of things on its own, but there's substitutes that can do some of the same things that an egg can. So they have products that will act as the binder in, you know, baking. You know, lots of times even just flax seeds, ground flaxseed meal is a binder. Or oftentimes there's things like – applesauce or syrup, or, you know, there's all these combinations of things that you can use to replace almost any animal product and achieve the same consistency and same, I guess, property.
Yeah, there's a lot of bakeries now carry vegan options. Even just your average bakery on, you know, in the mini strip mall will have sometimes a vegan cookie or cupcake.
We're speaking this hour with two representatives from the Texas Veggie Fair, which takes place this Sunday, October 19th at Reverson Park in Dallas. James Scott is founder and producer. Stephanie Casey is producer and creative director. If you'd like to join our conversation, ask a question about veganism, or maybe share a favorite recipe, give us a call. The number is 1-800-933-5372. You can also email think@kera.org or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, with courses in art, culture, history, communication, photography, and film studies. Registration online at smu.edu/think.
Yeah.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Stephanie Casey, producer and creative director of the Texas Veggie Fair, and James Scott, founder and producer of the Texas Veggie Fair. It takes place this Sunday, October 19th at Reverchon Park in Dallas. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, call us. The number is 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think. So Thanksgiving is not far away. People are starting to shop. Suggestions for a, vegan Thanksgiving recipes that don't necessarily cause meat eaters to say, we'll just eat later.
Well, you know, I love Thanksgiving. I love, you know, the time of year, and I love to eat all the foods. And actually, I was never a big, I guess, turkey or main dish fan. I always loved
all
the
stuffing and all the vegetables,
yeah, all the sides and all that kind of stuff. So, and really, those are the easiest things to
make vegan.
To basically use the same,
use
the same recipes. probably one of my favorites is sweet potato casserole, and really, you can use the exact same recipe that might be on the can of those, just by replacing it with, a plant based butter.
Marshmallows are vegan.
Well, there are vegan marshmallows, but they are not vegan.
Yeah, I don't use marshmallows. I like the coconut, but yeah, you can get vegan marshmallows.
And you can I substitute a stick of butter lasts me at my house. I buy grass fed butter, and it'll last me 4 months at my house because I barely use it. I almost always substitute coconut oil, which you can use. It's amazing on toast and all baked goods and anything that you're cooking that you would normally use butter in a pan. I have a variety of nut oils, roasted nut oils, and different kinds of olive oils. So I pretty much use oil almost for all my cooking, and you can substitute, especially coconut oil that has that density. You can put that in anything.
Right,
it's called
solid
for
in a jar,
yep.
Right. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go on the phone now to Spencer in Dallas. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, how are y'all?
Very well, thanks.
Great.
So I live with my girlfriend. We've been together for about 6 years. She is a vegan for 3 years now, and I am not. But in our apartment, we are 100% vegan, and everything works perfectly fine. I do most of the cooking. I've always loved cooking and baking, and when we moved in together and found out she was vegan and we started trying to figure all that, it always, to me, was just a challenge to bake the brownies vegan or make mac and cheese, things like that. And we've been doing it very well for a long time. When we go out and eat, there's no judgment on either part, and she understands if I want to eat tacos with fish or if we want to go out and celebrate something, we'll go to Spiral or Goji Cafe, where it's 100% vegan anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Are restaurants, if you're going to a restaurant and you don't get to pick where you're going, what's the best way to find something that you know is going to be, particularly vegan, has got to be hard because a lot of places are, there's butter in everything. Are there ways that you've found to sort of talk to the server about your choices?
Oftentimes, right, if it's a place that I don't know about and I haven't been there before, if I do have the opportunity, sometimes I will call ahead and just to
get the lay of the land,
right, and just to understand, just to say, hey, I'm vegan, I'm going to be in there on such and such day, because oftentimes for most restaurants where there's a chef that and they have fresh ingredients in the back, they're going to be able to put something together, and for a lot of chefs, I think it's they're used to making the same things over and over every night, and I've experienced some that have come out and said, "Oh, this was a challenge. This was fun to make this dish," and they're excited to say, "This is, this vegetable dish with these grains or nuts or beans or whatever." So I think if you have the opportunity to call ahead, that definitely helps. But even if you don't, again, most of the time in a restaurant where they have fresh ingredients, they can put something together. Just ask the server and say, hey, this is what I would like to eat. And if you're polite about it, I think most of the time, from my experience at least, everyone is very accommodating.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Alex in the Colony. Hi, Alex.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey.
All right. Well, I actually had two things. The first thing was just a comment about me and my girlfriend, actually. She's a vegetarian. I'm not, and we actually make it work quite well. We've been living together for about 3 years now, And it's pretty easy, actually, to make it work out. She makes her stuff, I make my stuff, and it works out really well. She makes me a lot of vegetarian dishes, actually. I've tried a lot of new stuff since we started living together.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It works out really well.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah. Actually, I did have a question as well.
Okay.
I was just wondering for your guests what they thought about the kind of social stigma that comes along with mm-hmm. being a vegan, because I've just found a lot of when you say the word vegan, you can be met with a lot of, maybe not hostility, but people maybe roll their eyes, be like, oh, okay, you're a vegan, okay, you're animals, and you all love all that, you know, social warrior and all that stuff.
Right.
I think that goes back to the you know, whatever you said, the Brussels sprouts, bean sprouts, and air that you eat, and it's tied to this hippie activist mentality, and just a little bit of education lets people know that that's not the case, and that's definitely something we strive for with Veggie Fair is to make it a very open environment and welcoming, and there's no one's going to throw paint on someone wearing leather shoes or anything like that at this event, and we just want people to come and experience it, so there's no dividing line. It's for everyone, and I think just, you know, welcoming people in with some information if they're a little hostile or resistant, if they're your friends or, someone you don't know that well at a restaurant or whatever that's giving you a hard time, just being patient. And there's just sort of a stigma, but I think it's changing. And, yeah, just the tiniest bit of education changes that. So,
yeah, and I think it's just, for me personally, I do experience that every now and then. But I think it's just being open and understanding that, you know, you're doing something that is – very, very different than what the majority of people, you know, are living right now. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that I would expect it, but, you know, I understand where people are very curious and very, interested into why you're doing this thing that's very different than them. But I think just being open and not getting defensive and just explain, you know, some of the reasons why mm-hmm. you've chosen that, I think people will usually – be disarmed and be a little more open to really understanding
sure.
why you are a vegan or vegetarian. And
because it is different, it's going to make you investigate what you're doing a little bit. So if, you know, that's scary to a lot of people, it's just something different. And we know that across the board, there's all sorts of things that people are afraid to learn about or face. And it's just easier to say, oh, that's different, so I don't like it or it's bad, than to say, what is that? And, you know, then have to face their own choices and lifestyles and how they compare.
Do you feel like people are afraid that you're going to try to convert them?
I don't know.
I'm not getting that sense
yeah.
from you guys, but
right.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that is the case sometimes, you know, because, you know, there are some people that are, you know, that have a plant-based vegan lifestyle that probably are a little, I guess, forceful or vocal about their choices.
Just extremists, and there are
yeah.
that across the board. So for anything,
right?
And they're the most outspoken always.
Exactly. So I think when people see that kind of attitude towards it, they might expect that. But yeah, I think in general, it's mm-hmm. just if you take it at a understanding that it's different, but educate yourself as to why you're doing that, mm-hmm. then it makes it easier to talk to people.
We have an email here from Tyler who says, last year, Dutch scientists successfully grew meat in a lab. These are Tyler's words. This mm-hmm. is gross and far from being commercially viable. But would vegans be philosophically opposed to consuming lab-grown meat?
That's a really interesting question, and I've seen that written about
yeah.
some. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, there's certainly a debate. I mean, I suspect there would be some that would be for it because, it's certainly going to – if they were the same, factory farmed beef versus one that mm-hmm. was grown in some lab, that and it all things being equal, taking the miserable conditions that factory farmed animal lived in away and consuming this lab, well, that would
meat
be
product.
A better option. Now, by the same token, the science and everything else that goes into producing that lab-grown meat did come at the cost of using an animal somehow. So there are, you are using animals in that way, which mm-hmm. I know that some, would be opposed to, but
And some people do it straight for their health. There's no animal cause. We have Robin Quivers coming on Saturday, who's Howard Stern's longtime co-host. Mm-hmm. She wrote a book called The Veducation of Robin, and she's a vegan, and she does it for health reasons, and that's what she promotes. So she had cancer and got through it being vegan. And so there are definitely some people that it's the welfare is – they know about it, but that's not the main reason why they're vegan.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Mary in Corinth. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I've been a vegetarian for about 3 years, and I thought initially, silly me, that I was going to lose weight because I was a vegetarian. And I actually have gained weight, not just because I'm vegetarian, but I wanted to know if I'm getting enough, or how can a vegetarian be sure they're getting enough protein? Sometimes I think that might be my problem.
I mean, for me, I think balance is important regardless of what your diet is. So I believe personally, and I've seen my own body change and be healthier by just eating straight plants most of the time. So you don't want to weigh things down, even if it's vegan or vegetarian, with mayonnaise or oils or, you know, even these meat substitutes and the, you know, fake cheeses or bread, you know, eating things in close to their natural state, leaving them with their nutrients intact, not frying them up every time, that sort of thing. Just because it's a vegetable, if you fry it and put mayonnaise on it, then it's still
becomes
not healthy.
Something else.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the protein is definitely a question that I get often, and it's and I think there's a general lack of awareness and education as to what protein is and how much you need of it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times a lot of people equate protein to being animal products, but in reality, almost every vegetable, everything we eat has some amount of protein. You know, the average person should get around 50 grams per day of protein, a little more for men, a little less for women. And if you're more active, then a little more. But really, that's not a lot of protein when you look at what we eat. And when you think about all the things that you eat throughout the day, for me, you know, on a plant-based diet, I get plenty of protein with beans and nuts and grains and all those types of foods have some amount of protein in them. So yeah, I think, you know, the protein is probably not something that – it's definitely not something that anyone would be concerned about being vegan. But it's if you're thinking about your health and weight loss, then certainly – the way that you're cooking and the other things that you're putting on top
of it. And you just need to eat a balanced diet. So you need to research the things that you like that do have certain nutrients and balance it out every day all the time, or, you know, generally every day. We have someone coming, Fully Raw Christina is coming, and she eats almost an entirely raw diet of plants. So, and, you know, she's extremely healthy. She's an athlete. We had Chad Byers come up last year, who's a bodybuilder and is a plant-based athlete. And there's a lot of these people that are, you know, major athletes, like that's their career, and they eat plant-based, so it can definitely be done healthy and lots of protein.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Audrey in Dallas. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, so I'm 20 years old, and I've been a vegetarian for 8 years, and I was a vegan last year, and I just have a question, like, what would you say is the health difference between a vegetarian and a vegan?
Well, I think, you know, I think like Stephanie was saying, it's a matter of – I was actually a vegetarian before I went vegan. And I when I did that, I ate a lot of cheese and I ate a lot of probably milk products and eggs and some – and really the cheese, that's something that's very fattening. There's a lot of calories.
It's a lot of fat.
And it's easy to – as a vegetarian, I think, to substitute cheese for some of the things that you ate before. Mm-hmm. And so when I went vegan, I think, you know, cutting a lot of the cheese and dairy-based products out, I think that's where I did actually feel a lot more healthy when I went vegan, just because I wasn't eating so many fats from cheeses and other dairy products.
It's really just about – it's about balance in your diet. You can be a vegan. There can be a very healthy vegetarian. I go through about a dozen eggs a month from a local farm, and, you know, I'll eat you know, some people would eat 3 eggs a day or something, so they're going to have much more cholesterol than me and that the fat from that. But you can be a vegan, and if you're eating frozen fake chicken strips for lunch every day, that's not healthy either. So it's just really it's just about balancing your diet, and I think your body tells you when you don't when you feel tired after you eat, when you feel get sick a lot, when you have you know bad skin or you're have gas issues, you're not eating right. So your body will let you know, and you just have to research and experiment and find what works for you in a nice balanced way.
Do you ever have to like pack food for a road trip when, you know, there's like a Dairy Queen and a Burger King and there's just not that many options if you're, you know, traveling long distances?
I do. I mean, I will, you know, if I know I'm going somewhere, especially if I know I'm going somewhere that is not particularly vegan friendly, I'll pack some, you know, health bars or some little, you know, things like that. But surprisingly, there are restaurants, even national restaurants, that are becoming much more vegan friendly. You know, you can go to a Denny's, which that's pretty much everywhere, and they mm-hmm. have a vegan burger on the menu. You know, things like obviously Chipotle is one of the biggest mm-hmm. ones that recently they haven't changed their menu in years, and one of the big launches they just had was a tofu option. Basically, they call it sofritas, mm-hmm. and you know, so basically you can go there and get a very vegan-friendly...
It's spicy braised tofu, and it's very delicious.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's a protein option.
So,
a new one.
Right. So you have... So there are more and more of the national restaurant chains that are, you know, becoming more aware and seeing that, you know, having vegan options on their menu is going to actually bring people to
and
the
you
place.
You can always go to a grocery store and find things. I mean, mm-hmm. at the 7-Eleven, there's probably not a lot, but... I don't for
Doritos
me,
are vegan
yeah.
friendly, I guess.
Right,
but
there you go.
They'll kill you in the end.
Yeah. Right.
We're speaking this hour with two organizers at the Texas Veggie Fair, which happens Sunday, October 19th at Reverson Park in Dallas. Jamie Scott is founder and producer. Stephanie Casey is producer and creative director. You can join our conversation by calling 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
That is The Smiths, 1985, Meat is Murder. We are speaking this hour with two founders of the Texas Veggie Fair, Stephanie Casey and James Scott. I don't know if you guys are both a little young to be Smiths fans, but do you feel like people who do eat meat assume that they will be judged by you because you choose not to?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's...
Are they judged by you?
Probably a little. No. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm... casting them in a whatever light, but I do notice that they're eating meat, and you know, I don't would never preach, but I don't know, I notice it, and they probably notice me noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't judge. I mean, because I've been a vegetarian and a vegan for the last 10 years, but you know, I grew up eating meat. I grew up just having the same diet that most people do, and it never really even occurred to me to be vegetarian or even wonder why someone would want to be vegetarian. So I think for me to pass judgment on anyone would not be fair because I was mm-hmm. in the same position as they were before. You know, so for me, I think it's just more about education and you know, just helping people understand, you know, why would someone want to be a vegetarian? And I think if you look at it and you look at all the different aspects of that, with an open mind, then I think, you know, if that's all that someone does is come to the fair, for example, mm-hmm. and just learn, I'm satisfied, and that's kind of
for
my
me.
Goal.
It's really factory farm based. Again, you know, I do eat a little bit of animal products still if I know where it came from and they were pasture raised, and I've learned all about how I have talked to farmers that will drive 4 hours where they might slaughter an animal because of the way that they slaughter them, which is instant and totally painless, as opposed to factory farms, which are definitely not that. And so there's this pride that people have when they take a picture of their, you know, meat thing with bacon and cheese and whatever, as if they went out and caught the animal and slaughtered it and skinned it and cooked it themselves. Like, they're proud of being able to eat this pile of stuff. And for me, knowing everything I know now, I just always have it in my head that I wish that information was out there, that they knew what they were actually putting into their bodies, where it came from. We have a total disconnect from food production now, and no one knows, even with the vegetables and the pesticides and everything, if you're eating conventional produce all the time, they try to enact those ag gag laws so that people cannot even see them. They try to criminalize information and photography displaying where our food actually comes from. And that's the stuff that I always feel compelled, if there's ever an opportunity, to share with anyone, because I think it's poison and dangerous, and just everything should change in the entire production system for food.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also email think@kera.org. Let's go on the phone now to Faridun in Frisco. Hi, Faridun.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I have a daughter who's 10 years old, and she's been a vegetarian over the past year and a half. And I think initially we kind of overdid it with tofu and everything. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, with the estrogen in tofu that I was concerned mm-hmm. about. And I'm trying to figure out what is the best way of ensuring that she will get a proper nutrition, while understanding that she's a 10-year-old and she still wants to be a picky eater and, you know, the kind of diet that a kid would like to have.
Thanks for your call.
That's a good question. I think now there are all these alternative meat substitutes, so you don't have to eat tofu all the time. Again, balance, moderation. Too much of anything is not a good thing. So, I guess they have a pickier diet, but like we were saying, you can make almost anything vegan or vegetarian. So just finding those recipes of what they like. And there's this great new company called Nature's Plate in Dallas that does adult meals and kid meals, and they prepare them and they'll deliver them to your house, and it's all plant-based. And they have untuna salad pockets and macaroni salad and all these things that are still delicious but clean, healthy nutrients. And she does a great job of replicating those experiences for kids. She has lots of kids' meals, so whether it's a whole wheat, you know, thing with peanut butter and jelly, and jelly doesn't have a ton of sugar in it, that kind of stuff. So just finding a balance and looking for those products, they're definitely out there.
By the way, we've had multiple requests for you to go ahead and share the vegan cheese that is
it's
that
real
is
cheese. It's just not made with dairy.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the one in particular that we were trying was the Miyoko's Creamery.
Which spelled out
M-Y-O-K-O, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're available online. But we also have some other, other vegan cheese companies that will be at the fair as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's definitely a good opportunity to come out, and there will be
– there's going to be pizza and nachos and those kinds of things with cheese.
Right, but there'll
sure.
be, you know, some national companies that have products in the stores that you can go buy mm-hmm. To come out and sample and try and just, you know, try check it out and see, you know, just see where it's come.
You yeah. might find something exciting.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the phones now. 1-800-933-5372. Let's go to Steve in Dallas. Hello, Steve.
Hi, guys. Thanks for being on the show and having the show. I go to the Veggie Fair every year, and just for anyone, it's such a fun, entertaining fair, delicious food, great music. Thank you both so much. Look forward to this year. I'm totally vegan, and I work out a lot. I exercise. Protein was discussed earlier, and I just have a shake. I mean, there's so many plant-based protein shakes out there. If you don't have time to cook, just make a shake, and you can learn more about nutrients. I think anybody, no matter what their diet is, could benefit from playing a more active role and just being more aware of what nutrients you are taking in, just you know, unconsciously, and taking a more active role in knowing and looking for the nutrients that is good for you that you may need. So I think anyone should do that. I believe, you know, that a plant-based diet is more healthy, more humane, and more sustainable. Yeah. I think for the environment, I'd love to hear you guys talk a little more about that. Mm-hmm. I heard that by 2050, food production globally would have to double.
Well, yeah, Steve, thank you so much for your call. And by the way, you may be the first person to ever have like some other radio station on in the background when you called this radio station. But we're very glad that you're listening, and thanks so much.
I'm really glad he brought that up. The environmental aspect is very important. We're partnering, actually, Earth Day Texas is our presenting sponsor this year. And the environmental impact of factory farming, no one realizes it pollutes more than all the transportation sectors combined. So the example I gave earlier where you have to grow the food to feed the animals, first of all, they're cutting down, you know, rainforests and forests all over the world every day to grow food to feed animals and to graze them. Then they have to be raised, fed, watered that entire time. Then that has to be processed. So instead of just cutting down the plants and eating that, you're going through all of that, and it's immense waste of resources or overuse unnecessarily. So even if you could leave your water running all day and you're still going to use less water than if you stopped eating meat that day.
Yeah, I think that the water thing especially, I mean, right now we're in one of the worst, you know, drought seasons and mm-hmm. in years, and just the amount of water that it takes to produce beef over, you know, the plant-based equivalents are, it's amazing the difference.
It's a giant difference. And when you start looking into that, there's a movie that just came out called Cowspiracy. I think you can stream it online now. And a bunch of us went and saw it at North Park when they had a screening. And this guy went and he said it was his own investigation, because he sort of found a little bit of information that it was, you know, such a pollutant and all of that. And no one's talking about it, all these environmental groups. So he set out to do a documentary. During it, he had doors slammed in his face. They wouldn't talk to him, the big environmental organizations. And when he did get in and ask them, they just sort of said, looked at the lawyer and said, I can't comment on that, because big ag gives so much money to all these companies and in government, and it's subsidized by the government the same way corn is. So they wouldn't talk about it. He lost his funding and ultimately was able to finish the documentary. But there's just irrefutable evidence when you look at the numbers. Mark Bittman did a great TED talk about that as well. Just it's billions of animals farmed, billions every year for human consumption, and the amount of resources used is pretty insane. It's a lot.
Do y'all have a go-to food that you bring to a potluck, knowing that you might have to fill up on whatever it is you brought?
That's a good question. You know, I think for me, if it's somewhere that I know that, you know, if it's a mixed crowd, so to speak, there's omnivores and everyone else, I usually like to do there's actually this one. I have a cheese ball that I really like. It's your typical kind of, you know, there's this vegan cheese that I use and using with the sour cream, vegan sour cream. Mm-hmm. And you really mix it all together just like you would a regular cheese ball. And I've been at many parties that they'll eat that, and it's they don't know the difference.
It's not dairy.
And, yeah, you know, and if they didn't know me, that they would have just assumed that it was, you know, regular. So, you know, that's something I know. I remember I put that on my website.
Do you wait until they've all eaten it and then say, by the way?
Usually, yeah. I mean, because, again, a lot of people, if you tell them immediately that, oh, this is vegan, then they shut down almost, and they think, well, okay, well, I'm not vegan, so I guess I'm not going to eat that.
Right, right. And
whereas,
if they try it and they,
you know,
like it,
if you just try it, then, I mean, most of the time people are going to say, oh, this is great. What is it? And you can tell them.
That's what I do. I just did a dinner out at my brother's when I was visiting California for a bunch of our friends, and it's the same thing. We bought some fresh-caught shrimp, and then everything else I made vegan mashed potatoes, and everyone was raving about it and asking me how, you know, what I did differently and how the food was prepped. And in my food journey in Dallas, I have a site called Real Fine Food. And that's been my journey, as I go to the local farmers market and just buy something maybe that I've never seen or heard of before, and then Google around, figure out how to cook it and experiment with that stuff that's so fresh and delicious. And anytime you serve that food to people, especially with the veggies, when you buy local organic stuff, they have probably never had a tomato that tasted like that, because it's picked early, transported for a really long time, and even the most simple preparations will blow people's mind, because they've just never had things that tasted like that. Our again, our whole food system is so disconnected from where it actually comes from by the time it gets to your plate. So
let's go back to the phones now. We have Monica on the line in Watauga. Hi, Monica.
Hi. Thank you so much for having the show. This is great. And I can't wait for the Veggie Fair. I'm so excited. So we've talked a lot about food, or you guys have talked a lot about food, and that's obviously really important because animals and agriculture have absolutely terrible lives. But there are a lot of other kind of animal issues that a lot of people don't think about. So like animals in clothing, like leather and fur, and animals, not just rats, but cats and dogs as well, used in experimentation for cosmetics and household products and on and on and on. So I was just wondering if at the fair you guys are going to have any kind of people from sectors like that, maybe like cruelty-free clothing companies or cruelty-free cosmetics companies or anything like that. And
absolutely,
drop the air. Thank you.
Absolutely. There will be almost 120 food and product vendors, and all the product vendors will also have vegan items. Definitely, I've seen vegan leather this fall especially as a major buzzword in even high fashion. I got some sort of a hipster clothing company's catalog the other day, and everything that had faux leather said vegan leather, and I was really surprised about that. So it's changing that that's even becoming cool, and people know what understand what that is.
Sounds better than pleather, for sure.
Definitely. but yeah, that's also, once you learn about that stuff, even in some of the cat and dog toys that say it's rabbit, it might be actually cat and dog made in China. So that is also very prolific and a major issue, and there certainly will be people talking about that at the event.
Do you have pets, James?
I do.
Do you dogs or cats? Or?
I have one companion dog.
Because I was wondering, you know, animals are different than humans. Cats in particular have to eat meat. I think dogs have to have some in their diet. Do you struggle with that at all?
Good question. You know, I don't, because there are.
I'm not trying to make you feel guilty.
There are vegan dog.
Yeah, there are vegan dog foods, and there are. There have been studies that show that a dog's especially can live on a vegan diet without any problem.
Well, there's the V-Dog company.
There's actually dog food companies that's all they do is produce vegan dog food.
And they'll solve problems for dogs. When you go and read their comments, the same thing, that have allergies. My dog was always itching. He was always breaking out in rashes. And then when they put them on that diet, they, you know, become healthy again. So,
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where I think some people probably do feel like, you know, you can feed a dog a vegan diet. Others may not. Even I know some vegans that don't feed their dogs a vegan diet. So it's really just a matter of, you know, what you feel comfortable with. And you know, I think every day we have a choice to do something different, to make a change. And you know, and I think anyone that decides to do something differently
that's for me
positive,
too. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Every choice you make with every purchase, everything you eat, everything that you experience out in the world, where you choose to spend your time and money, every single one counts. So just because you're not doing it all the time doesn't mean you can't do it at all.
Stephanie Casey is producer and creative director of the Texas Veggie Fair. James Scott is founder and producer. The fair takes place this Sunday, October 19th at Reverson Park in Dallas. It's been great to have you both here.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is assistant producer with help on the phones today from Christina Ulsh. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. You can contact the show via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.